Hello and welcome to the Brady Bros podcast. My name is Nicholas Brady, and of course, alongside me, as always, is my brother James. Say hello, James.
Hello.
The roles have flipped, people, but the podcast is mostly the same. But before we get into it, today is Saturday, March 13th, 2021, and this is episode 67.
No icing. For the first time in 39 years, the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup. He's in! Patriots win the Super Bowl! Brady has his fifth!
Now it's time to add to your resume. NBA champion, how does that sound?
Anything possible!
And real quick, before we get into the episode, I just want to take a couple quick seconds, a quick minute here. It's been a minute. It's been a couple months, but life's been crazy. But the goal is to continue to make this podcast a weekly occurrence. And we're trying and taking a step out of our comfort zones, I would say, maybe, and expanding outside the range of sports. So sports will still be the major part of the show, and Boston sports in general will still be the major part of the show. We want to branch out, maybe cover more general sports topics, maybe stuff that's going on in the world currently, science, technology, the internet, movies and TV, whatever it may be, just kind of expand our range, give it something a little more uniqueness. Is that a word? I don't know. James, what do you think about this?
Oh, I was just going to say uniqueness is not a word.
Uniqueness is not a word. A little more flair, maybe?
Ric Flair, sure. We're getting a little more Ric Flair.
Ric Flair with it. As always, though, we will start with the Boston Red Sox.
Oh, hold up. Uniqueness is a word.
Oh, well, look at me. Spring training, it's here. Baseball is right around the corner. Opening day is April 1st. I didn't actually write it down. I don't know if what actual opening day for Fenway is, but it is spring training right now. Regardless, the Red Sox are on. Have you caught any spring training baseball yourself?
I have only seen Twitter highlights and other social media posts. I've seen some of the big stuff, but I've missed out on the overall play in general. Honestly, a huge spring training guy to begin with.
Yeah, I think we both kind of stand like that. Also, it's tough. Like, not like maybe a couple games of the week are on TV. It's hard to find broadcasts. We were lucky enough to have MLB TV last year before the season kind of got shut down, where we could watch the spring training games. Don't have that luxury anymore, so it's kind of hard to find them. Anyway, let's get into some of the core issues that plagued the Red Sox last year in their pitching. I think that was pretty obvious. We were lacking in a lot of areas, but I think pitching was the most glaring issue. I have this like notion that I think spring training is more about the pitchers than maybe the field players and the batters. And would you agree with that? I think it's because they can kind of like do batting practice. And I get there's a difference between seeing a live pitcher, but I feel like it really is for the pitchers to work out those kinks and get in those game situations.
I think so in terms of workload, for sure. It's more about just getting used to from just throwing in a bullpen or whatever to actually facing batters, varying your pitches, going out there for however many innings and slowly getting in it instead of just stepping out there on opening day and just chucking 100 miles an hour. Just
for 100 pitches. Like the way
that you want to do it. But I think in terms of getting ready for this season, I think it's more about the pitchers. I'll give you that. I think in terms of changes to the roster, way more about position players.
For the Red Sox in general.
I think in the entire MLB, I think you're more likely to see a big performance in spring training that leads to an MLB debut
in a position. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. That is a very good point. I understand what you're saying. Especially too with the Red Sox, we're seeing a lot of new guys out there. But before we get into that, we can kind of, I want to focus on the pitching for this week and for this episode. And I'm going to ask the big question. We don't know a whole lot of the pitching staff. There's a fair few familiar names, but there are some new guys who I have not had the pleasure, I guess, of seeing pitch yet. But let's ask the big questions here. And I think the simple answer is pretty straightforward, but like we can maybe break it down a little bit. is our rotation good enough to be competitive this year? Are we good enough to be those Boston Red Sox that are, you know, gunning for that number one spot in the AL East?
I don't think so. I think we're going to take a couple of years. I think there's a lot of potential in this team. I'll give it that, but with Sales out for at least...
He's on the 60-day IL right now. And that was as of a couple weeks ago, so he's going to miss the first month or two.
If I had to guess,
that's going to
go even a couple more months. But, I mean, we got Eduardo Rodriguez coming back. We got Nate Eovaldi, who looked okay at points last season, looked a lot better a couple seasons ago. Martin Perez was really the only shining light out of our starting rotation last season. He's coming back, so that'll be good. Tanner Houck was a guy who really shined in the end of the season last year as well, where it didn't matter what was going on. We just were throwing guys in there to pitch, and he actually looked really good. So I'm looking forward to seeing him, but I just don't think so. Although I think we could go for like a comfortable second or third in the AL East. We're in a tough division this year. Yankees are always good. Tampa Bay Rays pretty much put it all out on the line and pulled it all off the line in about the sixth inning of Game 6 with Blake Snell coming off the mound. Oh, wow. I'm not going to let you forget that one. But the Blue Jays look good. I don't know. The Orioles are just the Orioles. But I would say expect the Jays and the Yankees to look better than us, at least out of the gate, unless the Red Sox can pull something off this season.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you brought up Tanner Houck, because I believe Cora was saying – I didn't write this down, so I can't say 100%, but I believe Cora was like, we don't want him to be in the bullpen. We want him ball in his hand to start the game. They want to make him a starter. And you're right, he did look good at times last year. But we're getting Chris Sale back eventually to some capacity coming off that Tommy John surgery. So who knows? You have guys that come back from that and they do phenomenal. They look great. And you have some guys who it takes a while. It takes a couple of years. You mentioned Eduardo Rodriguez coming back. We didn't have him last year, so he will be welcome back. So realistically, midseason, we're looking at Sale, Rodriguez, Eovaldi, Perez, and then assuming everything stays the same with Houck, probably Houck in that five spot. And I think the simple answer is can we be competitive? If these guys are at the top of their game, absolutely. And I think that pretty much goes for anyone in the MLB. I don't think these guys are all professional ball players. They can all play to that capacity. But realistically, it's going to be tough. They're going to have to put, you know, strings of games together and go deep into games. That's an issue I think we saw a lot last year where, you know, we were getting pulled in the second, third, fourth inning for our starters. And it was more of an opener look. And if we want to be competitive and be successful, I think they got to make it into that sixth inning, that seventh inning. You don't really see those 8 and 9 inning games anymore as much with the workload. But the bullpen too, a lot of new guys, but you know, a couple of guys coming back. Got Matt Barnes, who is currently listed as the closer on the Red Sox website. We'll see if that changes. I haven't heard anything as them like naming a specific closer. Ryan Brazier, Josh Taylor, I believe, was with us last year for most of the season. Phillips Valdez came out of the bullpen last year. Colton Brewer. But there are a couple of new guys. So I think if our starters can go deep into games, and you know, I think it's also going to be, can we have a dependable bullpen? And on paper, maybe, but we'll just have to wait and see type of thing.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's going to be, like you talked about, people were getting pulled in the second, third, fourth inning, and partially just because we didn't have pitchers we felt comfortable going deep into a game with, and partially because we were getting shelled for 3, 4, 5 runs in the first couple of innings of a game. But I think you're right. If we want to be competitive, if we want to even go for a wild card spot this season, we're going to have to put a solid 5, 6, maybe even 7 inning performance together, followed by a solid 1 or 2 innings in the bullpen and close out a game. That wasn't something we saw the Red Sox do a lot in the last two seasons, and it's something that needs to change if they want to be more competitive this season for sure.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that's going to take us out of the Red Sox for this week. Pretty brief, but pitching is something I'm sure we will come back to at multiple points throughout the season. Into what is going to be a quick Celtics segment, because neither of us have watched a whole lot of Celtics basketball. Basketball is quickly becoming not super interesting to me to watch, but there are a couple of things around the NBA that we can talk about in general. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum did get named to be All-Stars once again, so that's pretty cool. I don't believe Kemba was an All-Star, right? I didn't actually watch the game. No, I think
it was also Jaylen's first time as an All-Star.
It was Jason's first time. Okay. Tatum made it last year. I'm going to check
that, but...
Jason and Jaylen also going at it in the three-point contest. They were on separate teams for the All-Star game, so it was kind of fun to see highlights of them going against each other. But zooming out a little bit, big picture, everyone's talking about the Brooklyn Nets. I don't know why I said New York.
The Nets. New Jersey Nets at that rate, man.
Jeez. Yeah. Can you tell I don't watch a whole lot of basketball? The Nets have really put it together though. And we are talking in a lineup. If you haven't heard about this, I don't know how. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, James Harden, and just recently Blake Griffin. James, is there anyone who can dethrone them?
The Not Flat Earth Society. Someone's burner Twitter account.
They're two for two.
Guy who can step back four times and the guy who was last good at dunking in 2013.
Okay, I'll give you 3 out of 4 there. The James Harden one was a little weak, but
yeah, no, I don't. What's James Harden? He was big at the beginning of the season. Like it was physically
all a hoax.
Large.
It was all a hoax. Just, do you see?
It was like he's like a fighter. He just dropped weight.
Mm-hmm. It was all a hoax to get traded. No, for real though, that is just an insane lineup. I couldn't tell you who they have coming off the bench, but they are pretty dominant.
Spencer Dinwiddie still on that team?
There's no way they kept him through all that, right?
Oh, and there's Joe, guy who's good at shooting three-pointers.
Joe Ingles? We see on the Jazz.
Dinwiddie is still on the Nets.
Interesting. The Brooklyn Nets are, the Boston Celtics are sitting at 5th in the East. It is a pretty competitive division, you know, only 8.5 games separate 1st and 9th place. So that is not making the playoffs there.
But seriously, Harris was the other guy I was thinking of.
Joe Harris. Is there anyone else in the NBA that can compete with them in a 7-game series? I mean, there is, but realistically, like, it's going to take a lot to...
Like the Lakers, that's... Probably the Lakers.
The Lakers.
The LeBron and AD is your best chance at shutting that team down.
Warriors? Stephen Clay? Or is Clay...
Clay is
out, right?
For the season.
Stephen Draymond?
I don't think Draymond can kick enough dudes in the balls in this team to take him out of commission. So.
All right. Yep.
Yep. We're back in action, baby. This is what you're waiting for.
True. I am so sorry.
Like, you're going to have an inner team meltdown to stop these guys.
And honestly, I thought it was going
to
happen.
It's a ticking time bomb. It's three guys who love to have the ball in their hand as much as they can. And with
not even that, it's
interesting
off the court
personality stuff. Differences.
Yeah, let's go. That's a much more eloquent way of saying it.
Strippers in New York rejoice when they saw the Harden signing.
Alrighty.
Yep.
We are really back at it. Again, a brief Celtics / NBA segment for this week. I will make it my goal to try.
I'll quickly butt in here where this was. Yeah. I want to say the last two seasons were supposed to be really great seasons in the NBA. It felt like anyone had a chance. It looked like every team was kind of balanced in this two-star format. And super teams just came right back into the equation.
They were like, the Nets were like, wait, we have all this money.
Yeah.
Why don't we just pay everyone?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean.
They're in win now mode. That's simply put.
Yeah, exactly. And
if they don't win in the next two seasons,
they're tearing it down.
I don't think they have the money to sustain it past that. So
it's true.
I think Kyrie and KD were probably 2-year contracts apiece. So
no, KD signed a 4-year like max extension.
Yeah, I don't know where
seasons. Did he play last? He didn't play last year, right? He was out because
last year is such a blur to begin with that I'm not even going to confidently answer.
Because he signed his 4-year deal and then, but like his first year, he was out with his Achilles injury, I believe.
That he got in the finals.
Most of the year, at least. So
that makes
sense.
And so was Kyrie. Kyrie was also out for most of last season or part of last season and then also part of the beginning of this season as well.
Well, just remember the big thing last season is he didn't play against the Celtics for like so long.
Yeah, then he burned Sage and yeah, he's a weird dude, man. Let's just move on.
Okay. We will get into the Bruins quickly, but right before, we're going to have a quick word from our sponsors. And we will pick it back up with the Boston Bruins. From the Celtics to the Bruins, a team that I have caught all but one. I've watched pretty much every second of every game. I'm becoming a really big hockey fan just in general. So the Bruins just finishing up their 25th game of the season earlier today. It wasn't a great one. They lost 4-0 to the Rangers, and just it almost looked like it just wasn't a fun game to watch. They weren't their usual upbeat Bruins. It just kind of looked like they were going through the motions. But let's talk the whole season here for a bit. We're just about halfway through. There's only 56 games in the season. We only play the same seven teams eight times a piece. Funnily enough, we have all eight games against the Sabres left. So that's kind of good, because the Sabres are sitting dead bottom of our division. So that means we have 30 games left. Eight of them, almost a third, are against the Sabres. It's pretty good math. So I'm thinking a 7-0-1 is what will go in that period. Some Bruins stuff. Just recently, we saw them face the Washington Capitals for the third or fourth or fifth time this season. I can't keep straight. Which means we saw Zdeno Chara going after Brad Marchand on certain hits. And I just got to say, I don't think I'm never getting over that. That is an odd look from them to be going side by side as teammates, then be going after each other on those little scrums they do.
Yeah, I think what was equally as funny was watching Patrice Bergeron pull Chara off of Marchand.
That'll bring you back.
Normally, a player would hate that happening if an opposing player was pulling them off of someone instead of just roughing them up or whatever. But it also makes you think, how much did Chara put up with being on the same team as Marchand? And how quickly it flips when you're on the other side of it. But definitely one of the most physical series in terms of the people we play against. I think there's a couple of teams where there's not bad blood. We haven't really gotten very physical with them. And then there's one or two teams where it has just been big hits, a lot of physical play, and a lot of the games we've had with them so far.
And we saw that in the Capitals game with Tom Wilson, actually a very
notoriously, it was a
very cheap shot on Brandon Carlo.
Dirty player, I will add.
Okay, well, there you go. A very cheap shot against Brandon Carlo, basically headhunting him into the boards. He has since been suspended 7 games. This was a week ago, so he's probably halfway through that suspension by now. But we've seen some new players on the Bruins, and Jared Tenorti actually standing up for his teammate. I think he was one of two Bruins to also fight Tom Wilson in this game. So standing up for his teammate and fighting him after that hit, it was
that just means Frederick went after him, right?
I think it was actually. It was either because it was Tenorti and someone else. I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure because I saw was watching the highlights. I think this might have been I watched this game. I'm just trying to recall. But because I saw Tenorti was fighting him, and then I saw a different highlight where someone else was also fighting Tom Wilson. So they stand up for each other in hockey. So the Bees started hot right out the gate. I think they started something 8-2-1 or 7-2-1, something like that. I forgot to actually go back and check, but a very hot start, and have since slowed, settling into that 500 across their last 10 games. And this is an older team. They have added some younger players. We've seen Frederick, Bjork, Studnicka, some of the younger guys that will hopefully be coming out through this Bruins system. But our veteran players, our go-to guys, are older players in Marchand and Bergeron. It has been a very quick fast-paced season, pardon me, with games basically every other night. Every two nights, you're playing 3 to 4 games a week. They have a back-to-back coming up on Monday and Tuesday against the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm a little afraid they are going to run out of gas toward the end of the year. And I think we kind of did see this in the playoffs last year. The pause had a whole different effect, but they are getting older, and I'm concerned with this condensed schedule that they might not be able to get all the way there.
Yeah, it's looked tough. It's a team that some nights look like they're on, I believe, 2 games ago, not this past one today, but the one before that. We won 4-1.
4-0 against the Rangers.
Yeah, and then we're either playing really well or not well at all. It seems it just we're off. It seems like it's one way or another. We're not playing a lot of close games, although I think we just had one go to OT a couple of days ago. But it just seems like this Bruins team, it's you either get a good day out of them or a bad day out of them. We need to just start playing consistently good hockey. I don't know what the whole all-star situation with the NHL is going to be. I know it's a whole big deal with the NBA and even having the all-star game, but hopefully getting some sort of break in all of this just to give the guys a rest, a week to decompress. Like you said, it's been a quick-paced season, very fast games, very consistently. We do have some older guys. We do have a lot of younger guys too, so I'm hoping that'll balance out. But like I said, it's some nights these guys are clicking, and other nights it just seems like there's nothing going on. And I just hope that, like you said, they don't run out of steam down the stretch. It's something we do have to look out for. But I believe that they have the talent to get there.
Yeah, no denying that.
But to take a quote from the great coach of the 1980 U.S. Olympic men's national hockey team.
Huh, I don't know if I've heard. I don't know if I've heard this one.
You guys don't have enough talent to win on talent alone. I think that's not saying these guys aren't some of the most talented players in the league, but they need more than just talent to get them running through the playoffs. I feel like between the two of us, we feel pretty good about making the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's something we'll touch on probably in a couple of weeks because the playoff format is a little different this week, but we can talk about that as we get closer. But yes, I would agree with you. We are very pretty confident on them making the playoffs.
But I think it's going to be a matter of how far can we go.
Mm-hmm,
I think absolutely. This team has a ton of potential to take it to the Stanley Cup if they have the energy and the play to get there, but we'll just have to see.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the kind of win now mentality with the Brooklyn Nets, and we're approaching that. We kind of saw that with Tom Brady's last couple of years in New England with the Patriots, but a lot of cross sport analysis here. But we are approaching the end of a couple of these guys' careers. I mentioned Marchand, I mentioned Bergeron, also Krejci getting up there, getting a little bit older. So I think it's how far can we make it? And like I said, we'll talk about the playoff format, but I was actually just scrolling through the schedule because you brought up a great point with the All-Star break, and there isn't one.
That's bad news for the Bruins.
Yeah, because so they restructured the divisions and everything, and they only want them playing in their core of eight or seven if you're the Canadian League or Canadian division, pardon me. So my guess is they will not be having like the actual All-Star game. They're doing some like fan stuff, cause I keep seeing the commercials doing that's like submit your skills and submit your cellies. So that'll be kind of cool thing for the fans. But the players don't get a break. You know, the next time the only time the Bruins have 2 days off in a row in March is the 21st and 22nd. So that tells you all you need to know. Before we move out of the Bruins into the Patriots, just a couple of quick things here. We were lucky enough to play on the outdoor game a couple of weeks ago, which gave us a great post-game interview moment with David Pastrnak.
Great game to begin with, too.
Okay, the game, yes, they won 7-2.
And the pregame.
And the outfits and everything.
And basically since then, hasn't been good. But
say what you will. But we got a great post-game moment with David Pastrnak because he did his post-game interview on the ice, and then they all went back to the locker room and they pulled him again to do an interview. And they were talking about what was going on in there. And he was like, I don't know. They just started playing Barbie Girl when I left. So you guys pulled me away from that. I don't know what'll be on when you get back. And I mentioned this because I was going through Instagram the other day. The Nessun, one of the Nessun reporters, Sofia Yurksevich, was looking at her Instagram story because she does like the behind the scenes of the games and everything. And you could clearly hear during the pregame warmup that Barbie Girl was blaring throughout the TD Garden. So I think that might be maybe one of their go-to songs.
I think if this is our Gloria, and it hurts me to say that, but if this is our Gloria, I am willing to take it, and I am willing to listen to that song as many times as it takes for it to rub it. But I think that whole Tahoe trip was really cool, and seeing just the fun spirit and like personality that this team has that I don't know gets conveyed a lot in hockey, to be completely honest. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of off the ice stuff going on a lot of the time, or a lot of off the ice coverage. Nesson actually does a decent job with a lot of the behind the beast stuff or different sit down interviews, but all of that kind of being halted due to COVID. But I think that was a very fun trip to see this team meshing well, playing well together, having fun, and I think they need to balance that with being able to put on really good games on the ice.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was funny that you mentioned that because I think they were talking about that whole trip during the broadcast is with the COVID stuff and everything. These guys don't get to intermingle as much as they would, you know, all the locker room stuff. I don't know how they have it set up exactly, but they don't get to, you know, like I said, intermingle with their teammates as much as you would on a regular year. They're pretty, you know, kept in their separate groups or whatnot. So for them to have that opportunity on that trip, I think, you know, it was great in building that chemistry. They just need to put it together on the ice and play that consistent hockey. So that's going to do it for the Bruins. Now the Patriots, let's get into this because a couple of things have gone down in the NFL in general and for the Patriots. And we'll just start with the big one because this came out 2 days ago or was it yesterday?
Yesterday, I believe.
Yesterday, Cam Newton has officially re-signed with the Patriots in what I'm quoting as quoting, I don't forget what article it is, but an incentive-laden contract worth up to $14 million. So just a little bit of breakdown there because these numbers finally came out yesterday afternoon, I believe. That is $5 million base salary with 3.5 of that being guaranteed. That a $2 million signing bonus is factoring into that $5 million, I believe. And then $9 million in incentives that have to do with Pro Bowl, MVP. There's a couple differences between like stat incentives, I believe, and like accolade incentives. And then obviously like making the playoffs, winning the Super Bowl, whatever. But we're paying this guy at least $3.5 million.
Yeah, I have a lot of feelings about this one.
Well, good. The first question in the document is, how do we feel about this?
Not good, to sum it up simply. I was a big proponent of going out and finding someone in free agency. I think that mm-hmm. we had a I better was too. Shot. I suggested we keep Cam around only for the red zone and just throw him in there, do some crazy Taysom Hill type stuff with him playing a bunch of different positions in the red zone. I think that was where he was his best, where he's not forced to make throws because he didn't do that very well last season. But I he's got a lot to prove. It's a lot to say as a fan. He has to prove himself, yeah. But I just don't know. I really don't know about this one. I don't feel great about it. I was hoping we'd go pursue someone. And I think this stops us from pursuing someone unless we draft someone.
Interesting. Because funny you should mention that. I read this article. I can quote because I read it on the NFL app by Kevin Patra. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Anyway, he referenced a different contract in terms of this one because this is almost an identical contract to that of the Lions backup QB Chase Daniel.
I think so, that shows you what performance level they expect Cam Newton to be at.
It's funny because he didn't talk about it in terms of performance level. He talked about it in like, this is what backups are being paid, you know? So kind of hinting at that, you know, we could still go out and get it. I think it's the Patriots have $66 million in free cap or something.
Got a
lot of money. We have money and that's not enough to sign a Russell Wilson. I mean,
Deshaun Watson.
Thank you. I was searching for the other big free agent out there. So I think there's a chance that a slim chance that something happens in free agency. I am a fan of drafting someone of, you know, we do have Stidham, but he has been, let's call it shaky at best. Yeah. At times I am a huge fan of drafting someone, but let's go through a hypothetical here. We don't sign anyone in free agency that is a quarterback. Maybe we go through and get a second or third round QB in the draft.
Oh, that's good. We don't do well with first rounders. That's established fact. So,
but we have Cam Newton as our starting quarterback come week one. But you know, our defense is coming back. We are maybe able to put some weapons around him with all that free cap space. Do we stand a chance with, you know, our defense coming back? Cause we had the most guys out due to COVID this past year. Do we stand a chance with, you know, that defense, Cam Newton, and maybe a weapon, another weapon or two around him?
I think we need to see 2015 Cam Newton again. If we want to see that MVP season was couple of diving on a loose footballs away from possibly winning a Super Bowl against the Broncos. I think it needs to be a culmination of a lot of things. I think we're going to see a lot of stuff come together if that's going to be possible. And you hinted at some of them. Getting a big free agent signing. We have, I don't know if it's the most, but we have a astoundingly large amount of money coming in.
More than we usually do, correct?
For sure, and more than we've had in the past. In 66, roughly, somewhere in the $60 million range. I don't know how the Cam Newton signing
66 or 64, but...
affected that. But I believe we can go out and get a decent... what on our team I think would be like a wide receiver one, wide receiver two, depending on where Edelman kind of fits into all of this with him coming back as well. But we have a good O-line. We brought Trent... why can I not think Trent Brown? I believe that's his name. Don't know.
I'm going to say Trent Frederick. So,
but we brought we're bringing good offensive line. We're bringing our defense back. We have some of the best secondary players in the league. Even if Gilmore walks, J.C. Jackson looks great and like a very, very good player in the secondary. But I think we're going to need to see a lot out of Cam Newton beyond just putting better players around him. And my feeling with Cam Newton is we're going to be stuck in this Kirk Cousins, Alex Smith, just perpetual good enough that we can't get our next big draft pick, bad enough that we don't win anything or feel good about the team.
That we maybe squeak into the playoffs.
We maybe squeak in and get an early exit in the playoffs, or you know.
But even squeaking into the playoffs, even squeaking into the playoffs in the NFC. Pardon me, AFC.
NFC. AFC. You have to win four games, dude. It's easy.
AFC East, we saw how good the Bills were. Miami put together a pretty good season. What is the other team in our division? Why can't it? Oh,
the Jets. Yes,
that's why I can't think of it. Never mind.
Honestly, not even a football team. So it's
dude, I was thinking about this because I got all the notifications from the NFL app.
Although they got Gase out of there, so that's that.
I was getting all the notifications that people were franchising tagging people, and I was like, those poor souls that are just being franchise tagged by like the Giants, the Jets, like those teams that
they're
not really
so
going
bad
anywhere.
At football that not only were they unable to lose or unable to win most games in the season, they're unable to get the first overall pick in a season where they, I believe, lost 12, 13 of their first games in a row. It doesn't add up. They're bad at winning. They're bad at losing. It's miraculous. So I feel bad for whatever first round super promising quarterback goes and has to spend their first years with Joe Flacco in New Jersey. It's not even New York, but it's bad. It's
hey, we got our own issues to focus on too, though.
The Jets are bad.
Yes, they are very bad. So I want to go back to one thing you said, because you know we're in that Kirk Cousins, pardon me, Alex Smith-esque cycle. You know, where we're not getting those picks that we need to elevate ourselves, but we're just doing good enough that people are keeping their job, type of thing. So the first big one is we are in some sort of a rebuilding process. I think that much is pretty clear. We kind of skipped over what I would say is a major amount of it by signing Cam Newton last year. And I guess again, by re-signing him this year, but you know, the goal of rebuilding is you're bad for a couple of years. So you can get that draft capital to boost yourself back up. And we're not going to get that. We didn't get it last year. And realistically, we're probably not going to get it this year. So how do we go about rebuilding in a non-traditional rebuilding fashion? You know, because Patriots plans, we have been so good for the last 20 years that I think a lot of the fan base would be very, very upset and angry if we don't put together some decent football over the next couple of years.
Just a spoiled fan base is what we
are.
With literally everything, we can't afford to have any of our teams be bad for a couple of seasons. But yeah, I think this is the Patriots' way of trying to avoid doing a traditional rebuild and going out there and be like, you know what? Let's go 4-12 for a couple of seasons. Get draft picks. Get good players. Get good new, signings, that type of stuff. Go out there, save a bunch of money by letting our good guys walk and just bring in a whole new squad and hopefully do it again in a couple of years. I think this is just plugging holes in a boat that eventually it's just going to go underwater.
That is a great analogy. Do you have anything else you want to add to just the Patriots in general? Otherwise, I'm going to go to overall NFL news. Just one thing real quick.
Go for it. I can talk about this forever, so do whatever you want.
The Patriots or what I'm about to say next, or both?
Probably both.
Because Dak Prescott, Dak Attack, baby, Dakota. Man got paid. Not Patrick Mahomes paid, but he got paid. He signs a 4-year, $160 million contract. For those of you who are not great at math, that is $40 million a year with a $66 million signing bonus. The largest ever in the NFL. I didn't write down the logistics of it, but apparently there's a lot more to it because it's like supposedly it's six years, but they're
a 6-year contract, but for cap reasons, cutting it after 4.
Yeah, they're like agreeing to like, yeah.
$126 million in guaranteed money.
That means no matter what happens over the next 4 years, $126 million.
I'd like that.
I'd sign that in a heartbeat. I'd take half that. I'm not picky. Let's ask the big question. Is this a good deal?
For who?
For Dak. Well, for Dak, it's a very good deal, I would argue.
Extremely good deal.
Is he worth the money?
No, I don't think he's a $40 million quarterback, a year quarterback. He has glimpses of it.
Yeah.
But I just think this is one of those ones where if you don't put together a really solid team, you're going to see what eventually the Chiefs will run into and a lot of other teams have run into where you just have this weight of $40 million just of your cap space gone on one guy. And if he's not playing well, you're now at a significant disadvantage at every other position because of that.
Yeah.
And I want to look up what the NFL cap is really quick.
Yeah. While you do that, I'm just going to say, it's not like if he's bad, you can just kind of up and get rid of him. That's so much money that you would have to, you know, you're buying him out. You can't trade him. No one's going to take him off your hands if he's not playing well for that deal. So it's a tough position for the Cowboys, who, again, like another franchise, I think with just a lot of pressure to be decent, you know, the whole America's team type of thing, and that they are kind of the face of, at least to people outside the outside of the U.S. here. Did you find the NFL cap?
Yeah, it's got it at $182.5 million.
So he's 20% of that, he's essentially. Fifth,
so 20% of their money every year goes to one dude.
No matter how he's doing, if he's hurt, whatever.
Roughly.
Well, a little less than 20% because it's not all guaranteed, but pretty close.
Pretty close too. And you're seeing the same thing with Mahomes too. Like I said, you're going to see that dude doesn't have an offensive line.
No, they all dipped. They all dipped, right?
He's great. And he can, we've shown it. He can run back and forth and sling it underhand through his legs. Doesn't matter.
Done no look. But yeah.
No amount of dude perfect antics is going to save that man from 4 300-pound guys chasing him down for 60 minutes every Sunday for the next, 10 years of his life?
Yeah, yep.
Have fun getting beat by 45-year-old Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes.
Ooh, okay. I mean, hey, I like it.
We didn't even talk about that at all, but Brady's a goat.
Ages ago. Hey, he's a goat, no question. he posted something because he just signed a contract extension with the Bucks. Sad. But he's like, let's go for eight. Like, man is already on the
he
next one.
He doesn't care. He just, I'll just go win again. It's, I guess moving to a different team. Yeah. That wasn't hard enough.
Imagine he gets to 45 and people are like, so Tommy, you're retiring. He's like, I'm going to play in San Fran. We're running it back, baby. Yeah. I'm getting a tour of the U.S. Yeah, so that's a tough one for the Cowboys. I mean, if he delivers, they look genius. But that's...
I think they look justified. They look justified if he does well.
That's a much better word. I think that is going to wrap up the Patriots portion. We're going to kind of move into... It's like half sports, half not. The outside sports portion of the show, we'll call it for now. We'll have to give it a better name. But we were talking a couple weeks ago, James, and you brought up the NBA Top Shot thing, which is like the virtual digital playing cards.
We're NFT traders now, huh?
Yeah. So hold on. So it's not NBA Top Shot because I was going to do research on that. But then a couple days ago, Gronk became the first athlete to launch his own exclusive, purely online trading cards. So I did the research into this, right?
How many did you buy?
Oh, dude, I can't afford them.
Oh boy, did he?
Yeah, because get this. So he's launching four different cards, one for each of his championships. You can't see the teams, quote unquote, but it's clear that three of them are with the Patriots and one is with the Bucks. Of those four cards, there's only 87 copies, his number, obviously, of each card. And so they're all like online, but they can't be replicated or whatever because they have specific serials.
Replicated, yeah.
I don't know how it'll
take a screenshot of it and send it.
Okay, so I don't know how it all works, but you know they're supposed to be extremely unique. It is crowned off by one. The exact name here I have is called one exclusive called it's called the Rob Gronkowski Career Highlight Refractor Card. If you click the link for that auction site there and that's in the document, you can take a picture of it. You can see a picture of it.
Yeah. So I can already get access to the card.
It's the top left one. And you'll see that the bidding in this is in a cryptocurrency called, I don't know if it's called WETH or WETH. So I went on a very deep dive. What do you mean? What do you mean?
$19,000 for that thing?
Dude, so you see, like, I don't know exactly what order you're in, but some of them are expiring, like, tonight. You don't think...
The one-of-one card looks so dumb.
It looks like his video game character, right? Like, it looks like a NFL, like a Madden player.
Yeah, he just looks like a Madden cover.
Yeah, so...
When this thing sells for $100 million, I'm gonna be like, this... stupidest person on earth.
Yeah, we'll quote this for those of you, obviously the listeners can't see, but it is at 10.8 WEHT. I don't know actually what it's called, but that I have the link to. Oh, I thought I had the link to what
been bid on many times.
I thought I had the link to like what it was. It equates to about like $2,000 or $1,000 maybe
per coin.
Yeah, so yeah, because it says
it's about, you know, 10 of those coins is roughly $20,000.
Oh, I think I might. Is it ETH crypto? Is that what it is?
It's ETH. It's Ethereum, which would make sense. I think most NFT trading has been in Ethereum.
So why it's called W? I must have written it down wrong. But yeah, so I wanted to talk about this real quick because one, I thought it was interesting that you mentioned the Top Shot thing and then Gronk launched was the first athlete. Do you think we'll see people follow suit? Like,
oh, for sure.
It cost him, I don't know what he's profiting off these, but it cost him essentially nothing, I would assume.
You have to pay a graphic designer. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be something that goes into, like, make sure they can't be duplicated or make sure they're unique or I don't know what.
Once again, I can take a screenshot of this right now and post it on Twitter.
Okay. That doesn't mean you can't, that doesn't prove you own it, though. You know what I mean when.
I mean, it's the same deal with Top Shot. I think that sums up my feeling. It's like, I think it's really cool. I think it's really neat and interesting. And. Very, very strange, but shows like the possibilities of the world.
Yeah. So what I wanted to say,
for a highlight that's on YouTube, like it's the same.
Okay. Thing in my mind. That sums up the first two questions I was going to ask, but I wanted to ask this one because I thought it was interesting. Do you think this will increase or decrease the value of physical playing cards? Because I remember as a kid, you know, collecting the the MLB ones. I had a box sets of the MLB cards, and I should really go back and find those because we probably got some gems. That's beside the point, though. Like, what does this do to the physical collectible playing card market? If you had to guess, obviously we're not economists or we're not experts in this area, but just based on what you think.
It's tough. I want to say it will increase it, because when you have something that's online like this, this never, it can't be like damaged in transit. It can't be scratched or like anything. Mm-hmm. Can't, every card is a perfect, there's no flaws in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that means there's that much more to be said when you can physically hold it. And maybe this is my old way of thinking, and in 20 years, this won't matter. But I think that makes it even more exclusive when you have a perfect physical copy of something.
I tend to agree with you. I could also see it, like, if everything's moving online, though, this decreases, like, oh, why would I want a physical playing card that can...
I can show off my NFTs on...
Get, exactly. That can get, you know, creased or wrinkled or got some water on it or scratched or whatever, you know? So I can see it going that way as well. I think it's just... It'll be interesting to see at what rate and who follows, basically. Because I think you're right. I think he's not going to be, he is the first, but he definitely will not be the last athlete to do this. Or even, it's funny to think about, like, celebrity playing cards. You know, they have the chocolate frog cards and, like, Harry Potter.
Yeah,
we get into a situation where it's
they,
like.
They have those. Do you not know Logan Paul did his own?
Like his own, like,
a his Logan own NFT. Paul card.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and
I knew he was doing the Top Shot stuff, right?
Yeah, and it all kind of. Let me. I'll okay. dive into this. All right.
Oh, we're doing this.
Buckle okay. in, baby.
But for those of you that can't see, he just thing. Rubbed his hands together. So.
Yep, that's some good. Yep. Anyways, the whole thing is Gronk gets the money that this sells for. Not that he particularly needs the $20,000. His.
And I mean, he doesn't get all of it, but yeah.
What is it quoted as? Give me a second. The Rob Gronkowski, I want to make sure I'm calling this right, championship, one of one. Gronk career highlight refractor card. But then he also has one of 87, two of 87, so on and so forth
for the other four
different series. And those four images that make up the other cards are all the same images that are slapped onto the one refractor card.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a different art. It's just pieced parts of one. Yep. But what you see is Gronk is selling these and he's going to make whatever. And it all comes down to if there's trade value to it. And this is what you see with Logan Paul's thing is he sold whatever amount of NFTs, cashed out around, I believe, $2 million in just sales. But it doesn't. Once that doesn't matter to him. And the trade volume is very low for it, which trade volume is what drives price because there's demand. That's simple economical
with it. Yep. Yeah. Supply and demand. I gotcha.
But I think you're going to see it's a very quick money grab for a lot of people. And maybe it turns into this whole thing. We're on the very forefront of it right now. It seems like the forefront of it being mainstream, not the forefront of NFTs. Those are years old. Mm-hmm. But the forefront of mainstream NFTs and NFT trading. People are just bored and have disposable income, apparently.
Must be nice.
Like the other half of America that has disposable income right now, and the half the world. They're just like, you know what? Hell, I'll buy 25 Ethereum and buy some NFTs. But I think you see everyone hyping it up in the mainstream, because then when you put out your NFT, everyone snatches it up.
Mm-hmm.
You're out of the game. It doesn't matter.
I just think
everyone
it's funny.
Who's trading them by hyping it up. So you see, like, Gary V's hyping it up, Logan Paul's hyping it up. All these big names are hyping stuff up, because then when they sell their NFTs, whatever, it's a big deal. Or if they're trading them, they're getting money back, and it's a bubble, just gonna pop at one point. Once again, if this all goes sky high and everyone makes a bunch of money, and I'm just sitting here because I didn't invest. I'm sad, whatever, that's fine. But that's how I see it going in my head. It's eventually this bubble is going to pop.
Yeah, I just think it's funny that we might get to a point where it's like, hey, I'll trade you like an Elon Musk for, you know, like Steve Jobs is dead, obviously, but maybe they create an NFT for him. Just like get to that point, kind of like that. So it, what I don't
the
know
chips the, they're handing out to that. Those will be NFTs. Those will be your microchips.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll trade you my Steve Jobs chip for an Elon Musk, and I'll raise you a Zuckerberg.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, well that sums up that. I think just something interesting to watch, and in the next couple of years at least is going to be a, I would argue, a pretty prevalent market. So maybe we should get in, James. Who are we investing in? Who do we believe in?
Whoa, for the low, low price of 11 Ethereum, we could have a one of one Gronk card.
Yeah. Wait. That ends tomorrow, I think, right?
The
a day left, yeah.
Offer is, wait. So there's a one of one card that's selling for 20 grand is the highest bid right now.
Yeah. Do you see the next one over?
There's a 7 card that's at 68,000 is one I see right now.
Oh.
The Gronk Championship 53 edition, one of 87.
Yeah, I mean, they're animated. If you click on them, they like do cool graphics.
Oh, no, I found the one that's going for, I don't know, for 48. And it's the same guy.
Interesting.
9DD7B7.
He's just buying them all.
I'm going to call you out.
Okay.
I don't know why you have hundreds of thousands of dollars in Ethereum, but you know what? Maybe you'll look, I don't know. You do you, man. You do you.
Lastly, for the last topic of the episode, we are literally going to take it out of this world. We're getting into some space that stuff, James.
Transition for you.
Yeah. Hey. They're not good, but I can promise transitions.
I'm still. Hold on. I'm just keep going.
James, close the auction site, James. You're not going
to
buy.
I'm just trying to find the lowest price we only can find. There's no offers on this one.
Can you filter them by?
These ones are already owned by people.
Filter it by cheapest.
Yeah, there's one for 0.02 Ethereum, which by my estimates is like
$400. Is it $2,000 or $1,000 for Ethereum?
Let's look up.
I'm gonna start to pitch our next topic though, real quick, so we can wrap up the show here. Space. I mentioned Elon Musk. It doesn't have to do with this, but he is going to space, and so are we. This is a while ago, about a month ago. On February 18th, the second Mars rover named Perseverance landed on Mars. And there's just a few quick things I want to talk about here. But the rover is going to be on Mars for about 1 year, in one Mars year, pardon me, which is about 687 Earth days. It is looking for signs of ancient life and rock samples. And I like watched the launch and everything. I thought it was pretty cool. But they did a really good job.
Like the landing of it?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Pardon me. The landing. Yes. They did a very good job, I think, of like someone was commentating step by step for the, you know, the news outlets and everything. And there's live streams on YouTube and whatnot of commentating of what's happening. But you could also like the person they had like on camera, like talking to people, you could just tell like how smart and just him trying to like dumb everything down for everyone was, but also just him like giddy excited as a child because they were doing this incredible thing. So it was kind of funny to see that. They've released images, which honestly, I don't know if you've like clicked on the link. They look crazy. Like the, compared to like the first image that they posted was just like a black and white, like circle that from the rover, they've actually attached some pretty high quality cameras to it. What I'm getting at here though, is just recently they released 15 seconds of Mars audio onto SoundCloud. And it's literally just wind. I did listen to it.
Oh, I should have sampled that and made a song.
My next question was how long until someone makes a,
that's gonna be a some hard Mars
SoundCloud
Mars
rapper.
Wind type beat.
There
expect
you go.
That's on SoundCloud.
It's probably already out there. That's basically what I was getting at. You think they find any ancient alien life?
I don't know, man.
It's supposed to be like better equipped for searching for that, and obviously like the cameras and everything, but
I'll be amazed if they find, well, haven't they found water at this point?
I know there's water on the moon.
Water on Mars,
I think water
or something.
Water on the moon. I don't know about Mars. I don't know a whole lot.
No, I was just, first of all, the first thing I saw when I saw the SoundCloud was for sure someone's got to sample that and make a hard, hard Mars beat. That'd be so sick. But the second thing I was thinking when you said it was like being streamed everywhere too.
Mm-hmm.
I only imagine what the live commentary of something like that looks like in a chat.
Oh,
like imagine they're streaming that on Twitch and the rover crashes. Like what emotes would be spammed like.
So I was watching it on YouTube. So it's funny you should mention that. So I was watching two different ones. There was like a
Mars JPL. Rover, like, oh, thanks for the fiber. Thank you. Thank you for the donut. Thank you for the bits.
There were no donuts, but
damn, missed opportunity. Missed revenue stream right there.
Yeah, they could. They might have had enough money to send another rover to Mars after that one. But it was just like there was a lot of references to Dogecoin and Elon Musk, just because like the whole stock market at that time and everything.
That's traditional media trying to keep up with us young folk.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing in a Dogecoin.
This is actually going to bring us to our second space topic. Yes, we have another one. Is a couple of weeks ago, I came across an article of a company that is dedicating to get the first commercial like space hotel operational by 2027, a mere 6 years away till you can vacation to the upper atmosphere. A couple of things to note about this. The company is called Orbital Assembly, and I did my research and I went on there and I was like, heck, I'll try to make a reservation at said space hotel, because they were offering those at the time a couple weeks ago when I went on.
How many Ethereum did that cost you?
You can no longer. So funny you should mention that. No cryptocurrency, but before you could place your reservation, you had to fill out like a very simple like profile, whatever. So I put in my name, and then one of the questions was, it had you select your income bracket. The lowest income bracket you could select was
1%.
Well, no, it was $0 to $10 million.
Huh.
So I don't know if we're going to space anytime soon. I think
do you get a wing of the space hotel named after you?
It's a circle. I don't know if they're doing it by wings or whatever. Space
college.
You'd think so. But you can invest on the site if that's something you're interested in. I'll have it up. Maybe I'll take a peek. I don't really think I want a vacation in space quite yet. You can buy merch on the site though, if you want some Orbital Assembly merch.
Of course.
So my first question was like, how expensive is it going to be? Let me read the description of the hotel real quick.
I think you've answered that in the very simple explanation you gave of the website process.
So 24 integrated. Oh, sorry. That's actually of like how it's going to be built. That's not what I meant to read. It will become the biggest human made structure in space, fully equipped to accommodate up to 400 people. Will range a feature of amenities, pardon me, ranging from restaurants, viewing lounges, movie theaters, concert venues, to bars, libraries, gyms, and a health spa.
Space pool, baby.
Space pool. So I only like have two kind of questions that I wanted to talk about.
I have a hell of a lot more than two, but go for it.
Oh, you have like questions about the
idea? Oh, no, not like genuine questions, but.
Okay, my like first one is like, would you ever vacation to space, the moon, wherever we get to? I mean, Mars, like that's kind of why I started with the Mars thing and worked it back here. But obviously right now is like, if you had the financial means and everything, are you taking the family to the moon in six years?
Split. No.
I'm definitely not
taking the family, because I think how sick would it be to go on a bender in space? That'd be sick. Like you're locked in space hotel for how many days?
Yeah.
And it's just like it's just a 400 person rager.
That's a good point.
But also, I want to go old enough so when some idiot trips and falls into the glass and just cracks it and just whoosh, everyone gets sucked out of
space. My guess is they have fail safes, I would hope.
No, probably not. They're going to overlook something. You know it's going to be overlooked. But no, I want to be just old enough that like if something goes down, it's like, it's went out on space hotel. That's okay. I can live with that.
That's a really good way to look at it. So my next question is, you know, this one obviously being in the upper atmosphere, but you know.
So is it like actually out of. I mean, it's got to be, because it can't get pulled back.
So it has to, it's generating its own artificial gravity.
And it has something, to be going fast enough that it doesn't come back down into orbit.
Yeah, so I was reading something that
it crashed in when they're done with it.
You got to let me look through the article. I don't know. They don't answer that in the article. Darn. But they equated it to like it is going to generate its own gravity similar to that of the moon, which is less than Earth.
That's
so I don't know that it'll be direct like one-to-one gravity type of thing. It's space.
You gotta sign a waiver for that. That's a liability.
oh, I'm sure you have to sign a heck of a lot of paperwork to to go up this. But my next question was, you know, we've been to the moon. Some would argue we haven't. We've been to Mars now. I'm sure some would argue we haven't.
Stepped foot on Mars though.
We haven't yet. But at the rate like space, like exploration. I want to say I joked with Elon Musk earlier, but he's a big proponent of, you know, launching that SpaceX thing and expanding beyond just Earth. What I'm trying to get at here is, say we get to a point where, you know, we can travel between the planets, it's safe, whatever. They got hotels on Pluto or whatever. What planet are you visiting first? Where's the first destination out of this world that you were visiting?
Am I pulling up?
And the sun is a valid answer.
Stole it right out of my mouth.
I knew it.
I feel like Saturn would be dope. I mean, like, there's no physical land to Saturn, but just the rings. Just
post it up on the rings, though?
Yeah.
Is it Jupiter or Saturn that has, like, hella moons?
Jupiter. Okay. And just a storm that's still...
That's bigger than Earth.
Still going. Just...
Yeah. Right there, please.
Yeah. No, right... just somewhere in that whole thing. No, what I want to flip it back to you. What blows my mind is how privatized it's already becoming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and, absolutely.
Because like, we have... like a whole country behind NASA. That was a huge thing. Cold War, getting someone to the moon. That's huge. And that was like the biggest accomplishment. And you literally have individual people doing that now.
Yeah, it's
not
it's
going
crazy.
To the moon, to be fair, or sending people to the moon, but going to space and all. It's crazy.
So I did have written in here, like I was joking about like the baggage, because, you know, baggage is a big deal at the airport, but obviously like space, the measurements have to be and the weight has to be very precise. So I was joking with the baggage because I was just before we started recording, I was reading, skimming through this article again real quick, but it talked about SpaceX and like what the capabilities were going to be in the next couple of years. I think, hang on, let me find it. I think it was down because it was talking about how much it takes to like the cost of like to get stuff to space. And I don't know what context this is, because this sounds like pretty cheap, I guess, for space travel. But it's saying the cost has been about $8,000 per kilogram to like get into space, which is evens out to about $3,600 per pound. But with Falcon 9, they say they could do it for less than $2,000. I assume that's still per kilogram. And then they talked about SpaceX in the hopes that it would only cost a few hundred dollars per kilogram. So we are getting to the, you know, you've mentioned the privatization, but we're getting to a point where it's kind of rapidly accelerating again. We saw that, like you mentioned, with the Cold War and whatever. So people want to go to space. So it's quickly, like you said, becoming a privatized thing. And I don't know, we are on the cusp of the final frontier. Some have called it.
Yeah, I just looked this up. Blows my mind. So you said a kilo of like luggage, roughly.
I don't know what it's exactly talking about in the article. I'm going to read it verbatim here so I can't be criticized.
It's just storage space, but...
We haven't seen an explosion of commercial activity in space, El Torre said. The cost has been about $8,000 per kilogram for a long time, but with Falcon 9, you can do it for less than $2,000. And if Starship's come outline, it will... only cost a few hundred dollars. I don't know what that is in reference to, though.
So world we live in. I looked it up. A kilo of Coke, 18 to 25,000.
Of
cocaine.
Oh,
so it costs you less to get into space a kilo of your stuff than getting a kilo of the stuff.
This man's thinking outside the box.
Am I thinking at all? That's a good question, but. Wow, we've really made space travel it's doable, man. It's doable.
Yeah, something to think about. That is going to wrap it up for
us. That's what we end on. Perfect.
Yeah,
we're better material if I knew that was the GAN.
You didn't bring any material, to be fair.
I just looked up how much a kilo of Coke is worth, so suck it.
You're on a list somewhere now.
Yep. Hold up. I'll keep going, but.
Oh, sorry. I thought you hold up. Like, okay. That is going to do it for us in our first episode back in a while.
Dak Prescott's contract is worth about 6,400 kilos of cocaine. Just like
okay.
That's a I quick have brought it full circle.
There we go. Everything leads back to sports here. Thank you all so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Like I said, hopefully this, we get back to our somewhat regular schedule. Obviously life is crazy, so we will do our best. Thank you all so much for listening. If you want to leave a like or a rating, I don't know how podcasts work anymore. Leave a rating, tell your friends, leave a comment, do something. I don't know. Let us know what we can do differently, what you guys like, what you don't like. The goal now is to have, try to integrate more guests. So hopefully we'll have some more guests come on the podcast. If you want to keep up with us outside of the podcast, the socials, my Twitter is Brady Bros Nick. Your Twitter, James, James_B_Boston still.
Sounds right.
Instagram is Brady Bros Boston. The YouTube is Brady Bros. And as always, you know, tell a friend, do something. I don't know. James, you got anything else to add?
Nope. I think I've contributed the most I can contribute this show.
You heard it here, folks. Thank you all so much for listening. Once again, we'll see you next week. We'll